And we're holding page Lamed in Megillah, Ois Chaf Ches. Beginning the second parak. So the parak is called Akhoda L'Makreya, and it begins with the din that if a person reads the Megillah out of order, then he's not Yotze. So Akhoda, the Mishnah says, Akhoda S'Megillah L'Makreya, La Yotze Chola, if a person reads the Megillah out of order, then he's not Yotze, and we know there's, of course, the famous vote from the Baal Shem Tov on it, that it means also in a deeper sense that if a person reads the Megillah as Lamafreya, if something happened way back in the past and has no relevance now, then he's also not really Yotze, because it's something that has an ongoing horos for us. So now, the Gemara brings Tana, we learn in a Braisa, V'chein b'halal, v'chein b'kriyishmo v'tfilah. The same thing applies to Halal, it has to be said in order, and the same thing Krishma, and the same thing Tefillah, meaning Shemini Esrei. All of those have a defined order, and they have to be said in that order, or you're not Yotze. So let's go through each of them. Halal Menalon, where do we know that Halal has to be said Davka in the order in which it's written? And by the way, you do have there is a machlokas among the Achronim. Would that apply also? Do we mean only for sure if a person says words in the pasuk out of order or says individual psukim within a chapter out of order, then for sure he's not Yotze. What about if he says the chapters of Halal themselves out of order, would he be Yotze? Now by Krishma, we actually have, the Rambam points out, since the parashiyos of Shema are not one next to the other in the Torah, they're from all over the place. Shema is from Vayeschanan, Vayoyim Shemaya from Ekev, Vayoyimer from Shlach. Then therefore the Rambam holds the B'dieved, you say them out of order, you're still Yotze. Does the same thing apply to Halal? Maybe yes. On the other hand, some Achronim point out, maybe not, considering that Halal, the Prokim, are one after the other until them. So you have different opinions about that. But for sure, if you say the words of the Psukim out of order, then you're not Yotze. So Menolam, where do we know that from? Rabba Omer dichtiv mi mizrach shemesh ad mevoyeh. Rabba says, because Halal says, from the rising of the sun until its setting, we should praise the name of Hashem, and that means, just like the rising and the sun are never going to be interchanged, the same way the words of Halal can't be switched around either. Rabbi Yosef says, you have another thing from the end of Halal. Zeh hayoyim osa Hashem. This is the day that Hashem made, meaning Halal has to be like the day. The order of the hours of the day doesn't get switched around, and neither can the words of Halal. Reb Ivya, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevodach, Reb Ivya says, because it says, the Yehi, it should be the name of Hashem blessed, and Yehi means Kahva Yosa Yehe, it should be exactly the way it's written in the exact order. So it has to be Kaseik. Here's another one. The pasuk says, "May after vad olam, from now and forever." You have the place. Yeah. Well, last time we left off in the middle of the parak, but that was because we had done things out of order. We did the rest of the parak before. Before him. Yeah. Of course. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok B'Tamer Rav Acha B'Yakov Omer Me'Hacha Me'After Vad Olam. The pasuk says that you should praise Hashem from now and forever. Again, meaning just like now comes before forever, the same way the words of Halal have to be in order. Maybe you can see from this Gemara that time travel is impossible because now is always before later on. But I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so that's where we see that Halal has to be said in order. And again, you have a machlokas among the post machronim. What about if you say the prokim of it out? Okay, Kriyishma, where do we see that Kriyishma has to be said in order? So that's going to come out from the following machlokas. Jatanya, within the Braisa, Kriyishma Tiksava, saying Kriyishma has to be said as it was written, meaning in Lashon Kodesh, you can't be Yotze in any other language. B'chol Lashon, say that you can say Kriyishma in any language. Now, the halacha, we have the usual rule, halacha ke Rebbe mechadei roi, v'lo mechadei rov, that when Rebbe is arguing against one individual Tana, the halacha is like him. But when he's arguing against the Chachamim, then generally it's not. This is one of those examples. Therefore, the halacha is like the Chachamim. And in fact, the halacha, you could say Krishma in any Lashon. There are some Achronim, actually, interestingly, who say that in Shema and in Brachas, for that matter also, who learn that you can't use any other substitute for Hashem's name, you would have to use the name Adonai. So they would hold, for example, you could say Shema in English, but you would have to say, Hear, O Israel, Adonai is our God, etc. Others, the majority of poskim disagree with that, though, and say that God, at least, is definitely a valid usage in English, and that's for in the Tilos Hashem Siddur, in the English Tilos Hashem Siddur, for example, they have it that way, and it's halacha l'maisa like that you can do that and be yotze that way. Okay. Anyway, so my time of the, so what now, this doesn't directly impinge on whether you have to say Shema in order, but we're going to see as we go through the discussion of where each of them learns their opinion from, we're going to see that we come out in the, that in the middle of it comes out the point that Kriya Shema has to be said in order. So my time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say that Shema has to be said Davka in Lashon Kodesh? Amakra, because he says, because the pasuk says, Vahoyu, Vahoyu Advarim Eilu. Meaning, again, Vahoyu, just like we just said, that Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach means exactly in this way and without any switching around. The same way, Vahoyu means Bahava Yos and Yehu, means they have to be in their original form, meaning in Lashon Kodesh. Rabbanon, why do the Chachamim say that not in that case that Kriya Shema can be said in any language? And the reason is Amakra, because the pasuk also says Shema. Hear. And Shema doesn't just mean to hear as in the sound waves go into your ear. We find in many places in Tanakh where the word Shema means to pay attention, to understand. Harei, for example, tells Yosef, Tishma Chaloim Lifter Oisef. Doesn't just mean you hear a dream, means you can understand. In the same way we find many other examples that Shemeya means to pay attention. So Shema Yisrael means pay attention and focus means b'chol lashon sha'ata shemeya. So it means whatever language you can understand, it's valid to say Shema. Well, the question is v'Rebbe nami hoksiv Shema. So what does Rebbe do with that word? And the answer is ahumi be'le hashmeya lo oznecha mashata moitzi mipicha. Rebbe says from that you learn that you have to say the words of Shema in a way that you can hear them. You can't just move your lips. You actually have to say it in a way that you can. You have to be. It has to be audible at least to your own ears. The Rabbanan. Now, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say no. Sabri commander Amar Kriya Shema v'lo Yishmi la Ozna Yotza. They hold like the opinion, which is also la halacha, that if a person did not say the words audibly, then he's still Yotze. Therefore, they don't need to learn that from the word Shema, and therefore they have the word Shema available to teach B'chol Lashon Shata Shema. Okay, but Rabbanan Nami Hoksiv B'hoyu. What are the Chachamim doing with the word B'hoyu, which Rebbe is saying means that it has to be in order? And the answer is, Amun Boiler, Shul Yerkalam Afreya. They say that means that you're not allowed to read Shema out of order. Again, B'hoyu means B'hava Yos and Yehu, not as far as the language they're saying, but as far as the order, that the letters and the psukim have to be in, the words and the psukim have to be in order. The Rebbe Shalom Yikra Mafreya Manole. Meanwhile, where does Rebbe learn that from? He also agrees with that din. So that's what we said. Everybody agrees that there is a din. You can't say Shema out of order. The Chama learning it from Hoyu. Rebbe, who's using Vahoyu to say that it needs to be in Lashon Kodesh, where is he getting that from? He says, Midvorim Hadvorim. Because the pasuk says Vahoyu Hadvorim Ma'ela. It didn't have to say Hadvorim. It could have said Vahoyu Dvorim Ma'ela. And it would still mean the same thing. V'Rabbanon Dvorim Hadvorim Le'Mach Malahu. Now, some don't consider that to be a significant change. That's just the style of the pasuk. It's normal to have a hay over there, and it's not meant to teach us anything special. Okay. The bottom line is, in other words, both Rebbe and the Chacham agree that Shema can't be said out of order. They're arguing on two points. A, can you say Shema in some other language? And B, does Shema have to be said where you can hear it? Okay. Now, the Gemara points out, Lema Kasava Rebbe, does this mean the fact that Rebbe has to have a specific pasuk by Shema, the word Vahoyu, to tell us that Shema has to doubt to be said in Lashon Kodesh, does that mean that Rebbe holds that in general, the whole Torah, when it comes to laning the Torah, you could do it in any language and could be Yotze. And therefore by Shema, he says we need a particular pasuk to tell us that it needs to be in Lashon Kodesh. The Isak Dada for Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, if you're going to tell us that to begin with, you can only be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah, only in Lashon Kodesh, normally the Mitzvah, Vahoyu, then why would it need to say Vahoyu in the first place? The whole Torah can only be, you can only be Yotze, the Mitzvah of saying words of Torah in Lashon Kodesh, therefore automatically the same thing would apply to Shema. So Rashi says we're referring to Kriyas HaTorah. Tosfos objects, actually, that most Kriyas HaTorahs are not Daraisa. The only one that is Parshas Zohar, and some say also Parshas Parah. So how would there be a pasuk saying that in general you can't be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah in any language other than Lashon Kodesh, or that you could be Yotze in other languages if anyway the whole concept of Kriyas HaTorah is Dirabban? So Tosfos says we don't mean Kriyas HaTorah. We mean other things that have to be said, other things where the Torah tells us to say certain words or certain sentences. By Chalitza Kocha Yosela'ish, by the brachas of Klolos on how grisim and how evil, though we were now doing Sphira, those who are learning Masechta Sota are going to be getting to this, topic right around Lag BaOmer, beginning Daf Lamed Beis and continuing for several blocks after that. So yeah. So what does that mean? So Tosfos says we mean as far as those things. Does Rebbe hold that in fact it would be valid to say the words by chalitza or the words by various other mitzvahs by mikra bikurim would be another example. Does Rebbe hold that ordinarily it would be valid to say them in any other language and only because it says v'hoyu by shma do we say not? And the answer is no. Because you could say itzich, you could say according to Rebbe here by Shema needs to mention it specifically. Otherwise, sakdat Shema kerabanim. Otherwise, you might think to understand Shema the way the Chachamim do. Plus, Rachman of Vahoyu. So Rebbe holds the reason why the Torah writes Vahoyu is because the Vahoyu together with Shema, the Vahoyu tells us not to understand Shema the way the Chachamim do. That it means that you can say it in any language. Rather, Davka understand Shema in the sense that Rebbe is understanding it to mean that you have to hear it and then it has to be in the original words that are said in the Torah. Then the Gemara says the other way around, do the Chachamim maybe hold that anything that has to be read in Torah, whether Kriyas HaTorah, like Rashi says, or whether we mean things like Chalitza and Mikra Bikurim, like Tosfos says, that have to be said in Lashon Kodesh. And therefore, only by Shema is there the exception. If you're telling me that any way you can be Yotza saying these things in any language, then why would it have to say Shema? And the answer is they would say exactly the opposite of Rebbe. It's if you need it to say Shema, because otherwise you would think the Vahoyu was meant to be interpreted the way Rebbe does, not that it means you can't say it out of order, but it means that you have to say it in Lashon Kodesh, because it costs a Rachmana Shema, therefore it says Shema. So in short, in other words, according to Rebbe, Shema itself could mean one or the other, and Vahoyu clarifies what it actually means. And according to the Chachamim, the other way around, Vahoyu could go one way or the other, and Shema clarifies what it means. But yes, either one of them could hold that other things in Torah that have to be said have to be said in Lashon Kodesh, or they could hold that they have to be that they can be said in any language. And then in Sota over there, it discusses there are certain things that Ilun Emorim B'chol Lashon. There are certain things that can be said in any Lashon, among them Kriyas Shema, according to the Chachamim, and then there are things that daft have to be said in Lashon Kodesh, among them the Pesukim by Chalitza. Now, the Gemara says, Tefillah Menolah. Now, we said another thing that has to be said dafke in order is Tefillah, meaning Shemana Esrei. Menolah, where do we know that from? So like this, Titania, we learn in a Braisa, Shimon Hatkuli, Histir Yudches Brochas, B'tnei Rav Gamliel, Ala Seder B'yavne. Shimon Hatkuli, what does Pekuli mean? Rashi brings it, that some say that it means that he says that Pekula means bundles of cotton. So this Shimon HaKuli sold, made a living from selling bundles of cotton, and therefore he was called Shimon HaKuli. Anyway, so he arranged the 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei in front of Rav Gamliel in their exact order in Yavne. Later on, the Gemara points out that Shemoneh Esrei was first composed by Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. So what does Shimon HaKuli have to do several hundred years later? And the Gemara ends up explaining that people have forgotten the correct order of the brachos or some other detail we'll learn about tomorrow, but it's a shame what exactly it was that was forgotten, and therefore Shimon HaKuli had to rearrange it. Afterwards, the Gemara in Bracha says that in Rav Gamliel's time they needed to add the 19th Bracha Balam al Shinim, and Shimon and Shmuel Atzadi and Shmuel HaKotten went and composed that and inserted it into Shemoneh Esrei. So now, Amar Rav Chiya ba'Aba, Amar Rav Yechon, ba'amilav masnis atana, other states, Torah and Abraisa, kuf chof zkenim, the 120 zkenim of the Knesset HaGdolah, umehem tam neviim, and among them are a number of neviim. The Rambam, when he mentions Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, points out there were quite a number of neviim among them. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Mordechai, Ezra, which, okay, we had previously an opinion that Ezra is identical with Malachi, and we had another opinion that they're two separate people. You had a bunch of other people over there who were Nevi'im. Anyway, Tiknu, Yudches Brochas, Ala Seder, they arranged the 18 Brochas of Shemoneh Esrei in the order in which we had. So now the Gemara is going to go through on what basis did they set up that order. What considerations were brought to bear on each Brocha, why it's placed in its particular order. So Tanan Abanan, first of all, we learn in the Braisa, we learn this in Rosh Hashanah, Minayin Sha'omim Ovos, how do we know that we start out with the Bracha Ovos, Lekeinu V'Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov, Shenema, the Pasuk says, Hobu L'Hashem B'nei Evin, give to Hashem, meaning give praise to Hashem, you sons of the mighty ones. The Ovos are called the mighty ones because they were mighty in Amunah and Hashem and in Mitzvahs. The Medrash actually brings a couple of other reasons why they're called Elim as well. Elim is also in the Lashon Ilmim, as in their mute, even when they had even when they could have made a valid argument against Hashem, why he's treating them the way he does, they still accepted everything. Ba'aba, and the Medrash brings other reasons as well. Anyway, Hovel Hashem b'nei Elim then means, so Marsha explains, we learned this in Rosh Hashanah, means we break up the words of the pasuk. Hovel Hashem b'nei, you children, give praise to Hashem. What kind of praise? Elim, a praise to Hashem that has to do with the powerful ones, the others. How do we know that then we say the bracha of gvuras, atagibar? Shenema, hovel Hashem, covered v'oiz. The pasuk continues, give to Hashem power and give to Hashem honor and strength. And then how do we know that we say the bracha after Kaddish? Shenema, hovel Hashem, kvod shmoi, give to Hashem the honor for his name, hishtachul Hashem, behadras Kaddish, bow to Hashem in the glory of holiness. So we see that all of this is referring to behadras Kaddish, where we're in a place, in a time of holiness, meaning when we're davening Shemini Esrei. Marsha also points out there in Rosh Hashanah, the word hovu is gematria 13, which is also the gematria of the word echad. And in fact, we have, lahalacha, the three first brachas of Shemini Esrei are considered one bracha in the sense that if a person makes a mistake in one of them, he has to go back to the beginning. For example, now we have this time of year, we're getting used to, where some of us are still getting used to saying Merid Atol instead of Masha Baruch Merid Geshem. If you make a mistake, then you don't just start over with After Giver, you have to start the entire Shemini Esrei over. And the same thing with Hamelach HaKadosh doing Aseres Metrova and other examples like that. So all those three brachas are echad, which is the same gematria as hovu, which is why they're hinted at with these phrases. Okay. Next, umaro loyma bina achat kedusha. Why did the Anshei Knesset Sagdola decide that the next bracha after kedusha, after kaddish, should be the bracha of bina, the bracha of atachon, where we umalam la enesh bina chonenimid chachachla bina vadras. So Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'kedishus kedosh Yaakov," the Jewish people will hallow, will make holy the name of the Holy One of Yaakov of Hashem. V'esalakei Yisrael Yaritzu, they will praise and they will exalt the name of the God of Yisrael. The Somifle, and the next pasuk continues, the Yodu Soye Ruach Bina, those who are going astray in their spirit and their knowledge will have understanding. So we see that after the Yikdishu immediately comes the Yodu, means to know, the Yodu and Bina, to know Bina, to have the intelligence to connect with Hashem. Marsha says there's more of it than that, actually. If we look at the Psukim over there, the previous pasuk before the pasuk the Yikdishu is Kedosh Yaakov, so we have like this, we have the Haftorah of the that we read for Parshas Shmos is taken from Chof Zayin and Chof Ches of Yeshaya, but the main part of it ends on a negative note, so therefore we insert two psukim from later on, from the end of Perek Chof Ches, and those two psukim go Koyam and Hashem al Beis Yaakov Asher Podes Avraham, so says Hashem to the house of Yaakov who redeemed Avraham, and he continues that the Yaakov should have no reason to be embarrassed or ashamed of his descendants, because as the pasuk continues over here, he'll see that they make Hashem's name holy, the Yikdishu Es Kedosh Yaakov. The simple meaning means that Hashem, who redeemed Avraham, is saying to the house of Yaakov. However, there's a famous Medrash on it that says that Yaakov redeemed Avraham in the sense that Avraham, the Medrash says, was saved from the furnace that Nimrod threw him into, in the course of that later on Yaakov is going to come from him. So therefore, Yaakov, Asher Podes Avraham, Yaakov actually redeemed Avraham. Api Kabbalah and Api Sidus, you have also the point that Yaakov is Tiferes, which is Rachamim, and Rachamim brings out the truth of what Chesed should be, because Chesed itself can be misused, and Rachamim directs it in the proper way. We're going to have it comes up in a few days in Tanya at the end of Perek Mem Hei, the Alter Rebbe mentions that point briefly. Anyway, so you have, therefore, so now, when Yaakov sees his children, that they're being Mekadosh Hashem, the Kuba Yakdishu Shmi, and they're doing a Kiddush Hashem Barabim, like Avraham did in his time, and like Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah did later, the result is, Veselekei Yisrael Yaritzu, they're going to make Hashem more powerful in the world. Everybody in the world is going to realize how powerful Hashem is, and even the Yadu Soye Ruach, even the ones who go astray, like Nimrod and Nebuchadnezzar, are going to know Bina, they're going to understand for the first time that Hashem runs the world, and Hashem looks after the Jewish people specifically. So therefore, the whole flow of those two psukim, Marsha says, is talking about the Mesiras Nefesh that Avraham had going into the furnace, and the Mesiras Nefesh that Hanani, Mishael, Azariah did in their times also going into the furnace, which has an effect. Not only it makes a Kiddush Hashem among Jews, but it even causes a Kiddush Hashem, it causes a greater knowledge of Hashem, even by the Goyim. Okay, so therefore, so that's why after Chonin comes after after Kaddish. Next, Umar Rolo Mitshuva Achabina. The next thing that the Chachamim put, the next thing that Anshe Knesset Gdolah put, is the bracha of Tshuva, Hashivenu Avinu. So why that? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says another pasuk in Yeshaya, Olavava Yavin, his heart will understand, Veshav, and he'll do Tshuva, the Racha Loy, and he'll be healed. So therefore, we see that after Yavin comes Veshav. The point is, in other words, Maharsha says, when a person has bina, when a person has understanding, he realizes how brave it was to do an aveda against Hashem and who Hashem is. Therefore, he right away does tshuva. Therefore, atachonin, v'chonin ados, immediately brings to hashivin. So the Gemara asks, well, since it says Barotha Loi, the Hachi Lemur of four Basa Truva, okay, then the next bracha after Hashivenu ought to be the bracha of Fa'enu. Why do we have other brachas in between? And the answer is, Loi Sakadai, you can't think that should be that way, Dichtiv, because you have another pasuk, the Yoshev al Hashem v'Yirachameihu, a person should do Tshuva and return to Hashem, and Hashem will have Rachmanus on him. There's also the explanation that the Alter Rebbe mentions in Tanya, that it means also the person will have Rachmanus on Hashem, so to speak. He has Rachmanus on the Nitzitz of the course of his Neshama, that they're where it got down to, and he has Rachmanus on it, and then, yeah. Anyway, so, Ve'elavikenu, ki yavilaslayach, and he'll return to our God, because he's always abundant and forgiving. He forgives over and over again. So therefore we see that Ve'yoshev comes right away after it comes lislayach, without refuah in between. So the Gemara says, okay, my chaz santa saha. Fine. You have a pasuk where we see that right after tshuva comes slicha, but smoichaha. But instead you have another pasuk that shows that after tshuva comes refuah. So why are the chachamim relying on the one pasuk to say that refuah doesn't come only directly after tshuva, but only a few brachas later? Why don't they instead use the earlier pasuk and say that right after ashivenu should come refuahinu? And the answer is ksiv krachrina, because there's yet another pasuk that shows that the order is that you have slicha and then refuah. The pasuk says haseleach l'chol avinechi, Hashem forgives all your avedas, haroyfe l'chol tachloichi, Hashem heals all of your sicknesses. And the next pasuk continues hagoyol mishachas chayoichi, Hashem redeems your life from the pit, from the grave and from Gehenna. So we see that the order is specifically that you have, so you see that specifically the order has to be that first you're going to have slicha and only later on you're going to have refuah and geula. So the Gemara asks, lememra de geula refuah basa slicha. Fine, but are you going to say, does that mean that all those things come only after slicha? What about the pasuk that we said before? A person understands how badly he acted by sinning against Hashem, so he does tshuva, v'rafa loy, and he's healed. So we see that rafa loy comes even without the other things, even without the slicha in between. So what is that? And the answer is, ahu lav refor de tachaluim hi, ever refor de slicha hi. The answer is, the v'rafa loy of that pasuk doesn't mean a healing from physical sicknesses. It means the healing of tshuva. As we find, for example, that Rambam describes in Hilchos Deis, and Maharsha refers over here to, he says in more detail in Shemona Prokim in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, that the same way as there are physical illnesses and infirmities and whatnot, the same way there are ruchnistika ones. He mentions in Hilchos Deis, for example, you have a person who has bad midas, means he's sick in his neshama, and he has to go to the doctors who heal him, named Chachamim, who are going to put him on the right path. So the Barof Aloy, here the Gemara was assuming to begin with that the Barof Aloy means physical healing of the kind that we daven for in the Baruch HaRafa'enu. And now we're saying that no, it's actually the kind of ruchniyistika healing that is the subject of the Baruch HaSlachwani. So therefore, everything fits neat. Maharsha gives a long explanation over here that it's like this. Sometimes you can have, when we say that a person does tshuva and Hashem forgives him, sometimes it can be that Hashem forgives him straight out. Sometimes it can be that Hashem brings upon him yisurim, and that's how he gets forgiven. So that's the point. In other words, when we put in slicha first, what we're saying is we want that there should be the refuah. We want that Hashem should send him refuah after the slicha. We want first should be the slicha, and then if there have to be yisurim, then Hashem will heal him of those, rather than the slicha has to depend on the choloyim and the refuah. Amen. We say in Yom Kippur davening, we have a line that we have a line shaloyach ta'oy, that I shouldn't do averus anymore. Or masha chatosi lefanecha, and whatever I did sin before you, mechoyk barachamecha or rabim, please erase with your great rachamim. Avaloy ayidei yisurim, mecholoy noyim, but it shouldn't have to be through yisurim and serious illnesses. So in other words, it shouldn't be that the yisurim are so serious that they're what's needed for the slicha should be through rachamim rabim. Later on, if necessary, there can be the yisurim to finish cleaning things up. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that we see that refuah always has to have slicha before it. So there's going to be slicha, and then if there needs to be after that, if on top of that there needs to be yisurim, then there should be a refuah from that, and that's the subject of the bracha refa'im. The Alter Rebbe makes a point along those lines at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva. Also, he points out that there was a popular notion at the time that doing tshuva requires that a person take on himself fasting and other kinds of yisurim. And the Alter Rebbe explains that no, the yisurim, if there's going to be yisurim, it's going to come purely milamayla, that the Eved is going to take the initiative and give them in order to fully clean up the person's averus. What you can have is, after a person has done tshuva or as part of the process of doing tshuva, then he takes on himself a certain degree of yisurim, and that way it's like bringing a carbon oila to get back at Hashem's good graces. So that all fits with what Marashah is saying over here. Gemara originally thought that it means there has to be refuah, as in there have to necessarily be yisurim b'chaloyim roim before there's going to be the slicha, and now we're saying that not. They set up Shemana Esrei actually in the order that it may imply, and then doesn't happen like that. Okay. Next, why did the Chachamim, why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decide that Ge'ula should be in the seventh bracha? The point being, in other words, that the point being, now Maharsha points out, we just said that the Ge'ula, that a person is redeemed from dying, that comes after the Refuah. Therefore, we have the Pasuk that we just quoted, HaRoifa L'chol Tachloichi HaGoyol Mishachas Chayoichi. But now we're talking about, so that's included in the bracha refa'im. The person is asking Hashem to heal him. That also includes that he shouldn't die of his illness, so that other people are davening on behalf of shouldn't. So the ge'ula we mean over here is a different kind. So the question is, why davka did the Chachamim decide that should be in the seventh bracha? For example, it still could have been. It could have been after refa'inu, and it would both kinds of ge'ula, for example. So the answer is Amar Rav Mitoch Shasid in the Goyal B'Shvius, because in the future the Jewish people are going to be redeemed from this Golus in the seventh year in Shmita L'Tichach Kavur B'Shvius. Therefore, the Chachamim established that the bracha Goyal Yisrael should be the seventh bracha. Now Rashi points out Goyal Yisrael is not actually talking about the Geula from Gol. He's not actually talking about the Geula from Golus. That's the subject of later brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, Tkav Shofar, Es Tzemach, etc. But here the bracha of Geula, the bracha Re'eh, is actually referring to all the individual saris that a person has or that people have collectively at different times that we dive into Hashem to save us from them, and we thank Hashem for saving us from them on an ongoing basis. We say Goyal Yisrael over there, unlike the Gemara points out in Pesachim, before Shemoneh Esrei we say Goyal Yisrael, because they were referring to the Geula in the past from Yetzias Mitzrayim, whereas in this bracha we say Goyal Yisrael on an ongoing basis, Hashem saves us from all our tzaras. There's a well-known story involving the Oyev Yisrael, the after Rav, where with this yid, and I think we told it in the shiur before, where this yid who couldn't pay his rent to the Poritz, and the Poritz sent his goons to trash the whole place, and he goes to hear the after Rav Shabbos Agadol Derosha, and he hears him talking about Goyal Yisrael versus Goyal Yisrael, and Be'evishta helps a yid in every situation, even if the Poritz's goons come and trash his place, and the guy is overjoyed, and he and his family goes back home, and he and his family are dancing and singing, Kitzar Maisa, that itself was the keli that the Poritz gave him, the place rent free for a Meshach Zman, and he was able to get back on his feet. Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. Anyway. So Rashi points out that, again, the bracha Goyal Yisrael is not talking about the Geula Amitis Vashleima. It's talking about the Geula from a person's or a group of people's individual tzaris. Nevertheless, it's the name Geula, and therefore, it shares the name Geula with the Geula Amitis Vashleima, and that is associated with the seventh year. So, therefore, because the Geula is particularly associated with Shmita. B'chlal, we have, of course, Mashiach can come in any moment, but we have the Itta versus Achichena. You can have the defined Seder according to which Mashiach is going to come versus you can have that he can come at any moment unexpectedly and then bypass that whole Seder. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean it says that Mashiach is going to come Mashiach? Well, Amamar, in Sanhedrin, the Gemara discusses what the Gemara describes what's going to happen in the years before Mashiach comes. And it starts off with at the beginning of that Shemitah cycle is going to be difficult times. There's going to be famines and there's going to be all kinds of things that people are going to forget their Torah learning, and there's going to be epidemics and so on and so forth, and then the list finishes off. The shishis kolos, in the sixth year there are going to be sounds, which the Rashi over there in Sanhedrin explains a couple of possibilities. Rashi and other Mephoshim explain different possibilities. It can mean there's going to be rumors that Mashiach is on his way. It can mean there's going to be sounds of war approaching, whatever it is. But Shvias Melchamas, in the seventh year, there's going to be wars, the wars of Gog and Magog particularly. At the end of the seventh year, at the beginning of the eighth year, Ben David is going to come. So we see that Mashiach is associated with Metzoy Shvias, not Shvias. The answer is, what? We're holding on the bottom of page 60.
No, we are holding where? What's Shvias?
Well, no, this year, if you're talking about the year, if you're talking about what year in the Shemitah cycle we're in, Tavshin Pei Dalet is the second year of a Shemitah cycle, the way that we observe it nowadays. You should know, by the way, though, that actually there are quite a few opinions among Rishonim. The way that we do it nowadays is based on the Rambam's Shita, which he says is the way they've done in Eretz Yisrael all the time. But the fact is, there are different opinions among Rishonim that place the Shmita year in other possible years. According to some of them, it's at different places in the cycle right now. Anyway. So the one answer is Milchamah Nami Aschalta de Geula Hi. The fact is, the wars of Gog and Magog themselves are the beginning of the Geula process. Therefore, we can still call that Mashiach is associated with the seventh, and therefore they can put the bracha of Goyo Yisrael as the seventh bracha of Shemin Esrei. Okay. Next, Umaro Loim Refuah B'Shemitz. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decide that the bracha of Refuah, that Refa'enu, should be the eighth bracha? Meaning, in other words, you could say, obviously, because all the first seven slots are taken. But Marashar says, the fact is that the fact is, we did say before that we wanted Refuah as close as possible to Slicha. Because after all, we did have the Pasuk, HaSileach L'chol Avenecha, HaRoifa L'chol Tachloithi. Fine, we have to put Geula in between for reasons that the Gemara just explained. But still, obviously, we want Refuah as soon as possible. Marashar says, the point of the question is, given that, fine, on the one hand, we can associate Mashiach with Shvias, like we just said, but we can equally well associate him with the eighth year, because after all, Metzori Shvias is when actually Ben David bought. So the question is, what made the Amshek Nesla Gola decide Geula has to be the seventh, and therefore Refuah is going to have to be left for the eighth? Why not instead say, let Geula be the eighth, because Metzori Shvias Ben David bought, and that will leave room for Refuah to be at the seventh? And the answer is Amar Abacha Mitoch Shenitna Mila B'Shminis, because Mila is given on the eighth day. She Tzricha Refuah, and Mila requires Refuah. L'Ficha Kavu'or B'Shminis. Therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and later on Shimon HaKuli, when he redid this, assigned it as the eighth bracha to represent that point that it's of Mila on the eighth day. B'chlal, there's an idea in Chassidus that Refuah in general has to do with L'mayla Miseder Shtauschlus in general. You know, we talk about that you have the natural order of things is seven days of Maisa Bereshis, and eight transcends that. So there's the idea, for example, that is brought that the word Chola is Gematria 49, representing that he only has Memtes Shari Bina, and he's lacking the 50th, where the 50th, after all, is the beginning of the eighth set. Just like by Spirit of Sa'omer, the 50th day, the first day of the eighth week, is Shavuos. So therefore, so you also have the idea that Refuah is Dafka connected with the number eight. Umaro Loim of Dirkas Hashonim Bachias. Now, why did the Chachamim decide that the bracha of the Baruch Aleinu should be the ninth bracha? Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Kenegin Mafkiyei Sha'arim, because particularly in that bracha, we're davening against those who drive up the prices of food. Meaning, you have people. The Gemara mentions this concept in various places. You have people who would hoard food, and then they would hoard grain and other supplies like that. And then, when there's a shortage, when there's a drought or whatever, then prices are very high. Then they would go and sell them in order to make a profit off the backs, particularly of the poor people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford the grain. So therefore, so we're asking Hashem to break the power of such people, and Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Tehillim in Kapitel Yud, Shvoz Roya Rosh Hashem, David Davins, Hashem break the arm, meaning the power of the Rosh. Now Rashi explains that Uri Psukim in that capital describe this Rosha as lying in wait to go and rob the poor. Now, why would anybody go and bother and robbing the poor? You want to rob, you're going to rob from the rich. So therefore, it refers to these Mafkiya Sharim, where the people they take advantage of, particularly, are the poor people who can't afford the inflated prices that they're going to charge for their grain. So David is davening to Hashem, Shvoz Roya Rosha, break their power by bringing plentiful rain so that there should be a large enough supply of grain and other staples like that so that these Mafkiya Sha'arim are never able to get a foothold and start this process of causing inflated prices in the first place. Maosho also adds, actually, the word zroya can be is the word shvur is also a word for grain, like yesheva b'mitzrayim, and the word zroya means meloshen zriya. So David is davening shvur zroya, Hashem give a large supply of grain and a large supply of seeds of seeds that grow successfully, so that the rosha isn't able to do what he's trying to do. And the David ki amra b'chias amra. Now David said this pasuk in the ninth capital of Tehillim. Therefore, we have Baruch Aleinu as the ninth bracha. Now, how is it ninth? Rashi says on the face of it, it's the eighth. Now we have it as the tenth, but Rashi, the girsa of Rashi that we have in front of us, says that it's the eighth. And the vort is Rashi explains because the first two kapitlach of Tehillim are actually counted Ashrei and Lama Rog Shugoyim actually count as one long kapitel. So therefore, it would come out that this would be the eighth. Now, Tosfos actually deals with that and says that actually it is true that those two are really counted as one capital. But on the other hand, Tosfos says still that would still leave this pasuk Shvozer Rosha. So then it would leave it in the ninth. So it still wouldn't be the eighth capital because Perek Tet, capital Tes and Yud. Lamnaseach Muslabein and Lama Hashem Tamid Berachas, those are in fact two separate kapitla, and therefore it comes out that this pasuk is the ninth if we count Ashrei and Lama Rogshu as two kapitla. Maosho also discusses this a little bit, and various other Mefoshim do also about the deal about what is this business of the division of the kapitla tilim. The Gemara mentions in Brachas when you had a kapitel tilim that was particularly dear to David, it would begin and end it with the same phrasing. An example of that, for example, is kapitel kuf mem hey tilol David. He begins with tilol David and finishes with tilas Hashem yidabapi. So the Gemara says another example of that is that you begin tilim begins ashrei ha'ish and the second parak begins and ends ashrei kol choisei boy. So that implies that it's in origin it's one long kapitel of 18 psukim. Now we don't have it in our tilims that way. Marsha in Brachas points out a very interesting point. The Gemara mentions over there in Brachas that at the end of Shemana Esrei we say the pasuk Yulorotzim Imerefi because it's at the end of the 18th capital of Tehillim, and therefore it's appropriate to say it at the end of the 18th Brachas of Shemana Esrei. Well, we have 19 Brachas in Shemana Esrei, so when they added a 19th Bracha, they had to then split one capital in two in order to keep it consistent, and therefore they split Ashrei and Lama Rogshu into two kapitla. As far as the others, as far as capital Tes and Yud, Lamnatseach Hamus Labein and Lama Hashem Tamid Berachas, Tosfos makes the point that there are some who think that in origin they may have been one capital also, which would explain what Rashi means when he says the eighth. And if you look at it, there is an interesting thing, actually, if you look at capital Tes. So the Reef at the bottom of the page over here has a long, long discussion of this whole point. He says, maybe indeed, Kapitel Tes and Yud are in origin two kapitla, but the fact is they talk about very similar topics. They both talk about this topic of the Rosha and how he's so successful and Hashem should prevent him from being so successful. So therefore, in that sense, the Gemara can think of it as one long kapitel. With that said, though, there is the possibility that maybe at one point they were one kapitel. You actually have, if you look carefully at Sukkim and kapitel Tes and Yud, you have a partial Aleph Beis acrostic that runs through them. You have in kapitel Tes, you have Oyda Hashem B'chol Libi, Bishuv Oyvai Ocher, go out to Goyim, and you have a more or less an order of the Aleph Beis over there until you get to Chof or so. Then you have Kapitel Yud, and the end of Kapitel, the last few psukim of Kapitel Yud continue, they pick up at the end of the Aleph Beis. Kuma Hashem Keil Nasa Yadecha, Ro'isa Kiyata Olma Bachas, Shvozer Erosha, so maybe in origin there were one Kapitel, which David wrote partially in Aleph Beis order. In any case, so there is some discussion about where Kapitlach were divided originally versus where they are now. Even nowadays, by the way, there's a medrash actually that says that there are 147 Kapitlach Tilim where we have 150. So one way of looking at it is evidently that there may have been several pairs of Kapitlach that originally were one and now have been split into two. Although Rav Shmuel Heber has in his Sefer on Tilim, he says maybe what it is like this. Maybe the first two Kapitlach are basically an introduction to the whole Sefer Tilim, so therefore they don't really count as Kapitlach of their own. And then other than that, you have Kapitel Kuf Yudalin and Kuf Tesvav, B'tzeis Yisrael, and Lo Lanu Hashem Lo Lanu, to this very day, the Temanim have them as one long kapitel. And it seems that Rambam did also, from the way he describes the way you say Hallel, from the way he describes in Hilchos Megillah B'Chanukah. So in that case, it can come out, the fact that you have three less kapitla than you otherwise would, by considering Aleph and Beis as something of an introduction to the whole Tilim, and by counting Kuf Yudalin and Kuf Tesvav as one long kapitel. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with the rest of the discussion of why Shemoneh Esrei is in the order that it is. Yom Yom Mashiach Ba'ola, Chav Zayin Nissen. The mitzvah that has the greatest special skula that brings the Ga'ula closer is the mitzvah of Tzedakah, as Chazal tells us, the Ga'ula of Tzedakah, Shemakarev Ha'Ga'ula. That implies that, so that means that a person has to add more in tzedakah, and it should be as the best would be if it's done immediately. So that everyone was going to give out, coins or dollars or whatever for tzedakah at that time. Especially, we don't know, nobody knows, you never know. The one last thing that's lacking in order to bring the gola might be giving a few coins for tzedakah. As we know, that Amnon writes, it's sacked in the halacha that every person has to see himself in the entire world as exactly half balanced, and he does one mitzvah, then he inclines himself in the whole world to the side of good, and regardim lo lohem true of atzola, and he causes a salvation and a rescue for himself or for the entire world. There's actually a different girsa that's brought, not by atzola, but by atzlocha, that he brings atzlocha to the entire world as well. Okay. Continuing on halachas of Shabbos. We started talking about that you're not allowed to break things that are not food, but when it's food, then you're allowed. Now, what if you have, for example, you have, let's say, cinnamon sticks or other things like that, you want to break them up in order to smell them. So you're allowed to do that, but you're allowed to do that in order to smell them, but not, for example, to use them as a toothpick. You would be allowed to break, like you take a cinnamon stick or something like that, and you break off a piece in order to smell it. Because when you break it, then it makes the fragrance come out more strongly. But not to break off a piece to use as a toothpick, for example. Whereas he said in the previous part of the sif, he said, for example, when it's something that can be Michael Behema, then you could even use it, then you could even break it off to use it as a toothpick. So you can take a piece of straw, for example, and break off a piece to pick your teeth with. The difference is that the difference apparently is that the cinnamon sticks or whatever are not mindful behavior.